As George W. Bush was sworn in for a second term as U.S. President in Washington, D.C. on Thursday, January 20th, thousands of demonstrators filled the streets of downtown Washington to voice rejection of both the domestic and foreign policies of the current U.S. administration. A major focus of the large-scale demonstrations against Bush's inauguration, which some estimate at 10,000, was the ongoing military occupation of Iraq, which has seen an estimated 100,000 Iraqis dead within the context of the internationally condemned U.S.-led military occupation, which has sparked worldwide demonstrations throughout the past 2 years. Various anti-war coalitions, community groups, and thousands of individuals from throughout the United States converged on D.C. to participate in the demonstrations. I had the opportunity to speak with Layla Spears of D.C. Anarchist Resistance, which is part of the larger counter-inaugural coalition. D.C. Anarchist Resistance organized a convergence of anarchists on Thursday, January 20th, which sparked confrontations between demonstrators and police, as protesters attempted to confront police lines guarding Bush's motorcade route.
The DC Anarchist Resistance March, which marched very strong, actually, had a great presence and mood for quite a long time until we got right next to the parade route, basically, where people were pepper sprayed by police and then pushed back. As far as I know, there weren't that many arrests. I've only heard of one definite one and other possible ones. And then, of course, there were people that were meeting on the parade route that were lined up to do particular things once the motorcade passed by. In talking with some of those people, it seems like they were disappointed because there was so much security that they really couldn't get their message, their action didn't come across to the media or even perhaps to Bush. And the DC Anarchist Resistance March met up several times. First, we met up at Logan Circle and marched together down to the parade route. Once that was broken up, we had a reconvergence from Chinatown and marched again down to the parade route, and unfortunately again we're shut down, but at each attempt, you know, it was a great mood to be bringing and keep asserting the fact that we want to be here, we want to be a part of this event to show how we feel about the election, the inauguration. And then we marched a third time this evening as kind of a reconvening, and that was carried out until it met up with an inauguration ball.
Can you maybe describe for us what the streets of D.C. looked like today? There were many people that gathered from around the United States. Thousands of demonstrators joined in these demonstrations you were talking about. Can you maybe just describe how things look? You mentioned at one point that the demonstration you were part of approached the barricades. Describe maybe what happened and so on.
Okay. Yeah, actually, it was interesting. Walking around the streets of D.C. before getting close to the parade route really felt as though the only people in the city at all today were people protesting the inauguration, just because people have taken off work. Most of the city streets were closed, so it really was left to the demonstrators to walk around, except for once you got closer to the parade route, there were Republicans or people trying to go to the inauguration who are a little more conservative, obviously, and not there to protest, waiting mainly in very long lines to go through checkpoints. As far as, I wasn't a part of this particular action, but at the first Anarchist Resistance March, we're pounding on one of the gates, and apparently they were just pounding on it, but it came unlatched without really any force. So I think that was one of the instances where the anarchists kind of broke into the restricted area. The second time, people were trying to go through a checkpoint and open that checkpoint for everyone to be able to go through because the lines were ridiculous. People wanted to simply go down to the parade route and express their feelings on the inauguration and about the election as well as the Bush administration. And so I feel like people were going down there in order to just liberate the checkpoint, essentially. And that was mainly done by some debris that was left from a construction site that just happened to be there.
You spoke about the motorcade route, and obviously people were trying to get as close to the motorcade route as possible in the demonstrations. Can you maybe describe what some of the main issues were, you know, in people's protest? What were they trying to highlight in terms of the Bush administration? People point to many, many issues that affect the entire world, but maybe can you talk about some that you felt were most important and wanted to highlight?
Yeah, I think number one that was probably represented was the war. People have a very strong conviction against the war in Iraq. And so I think a lot of the people that were there to protest are namely have either been radicalized by, you know, Bush's decision to go to the war in Iraq or just seen that as the focal point for how this administration is really trying to run the world but doing a very bad job of it. You know, at this point, 1,368 American soldiers have died. You know, that's not including the tens of thousands of Iraqis that have died. So I think that was a really big issue for people who, you know, just last week had heard that the administration finally came out saying there were no weapons of mass destruction after all of the searching, and they're finally admitting to it that there weren't even any roving vans that had missiles in it or weapons in it. So I think that was a prime issue. I think another one that was highlighted mainly by the Women's March, but by other groups as well, was the right to choose and, you know, reproductive freedom in this country is sitting, you know, at a scary point, basically, because of Bush's politics, his beliefs, as well as the right wing that is benefiting from him being in office. And I think otherwise, you know, there's just the idea of this representative democracy not being representative of the people that live here. And in particular in D.C., 90% voted for Kerry here, and actually more people voted for independence than voted for Bush. So it's a strong sense that Bush does not represent us and never will, no matter how hard he tries. And the fact is, he's not really trying. So I think those were the main issues that people were highlighting, along with always the environment, you know, Bush's administration policies against the environment and pro-business have really been hurting what the U.S. has been trying to preserve of, you know, its parks, its forests. The Alaska Refuge comes up a lot. So that would be another thing, as well as schools. I'm a first grade teacher, and, you know, I see the impact that funding has on our schools, and there were a lot of teachers out there today as well that came to talk about the No Child Left Behind really actually being the worst thing that someone could have done to the education system. So anyways, I think those would be, you know, the main ones.
Today, the demonstrations are being presented by much of the media as demonstrations of people that would have supported Kerry entering the White House. From your perspective, do you see that as an important issue? What are your ideas regarding the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans? Do you think that does have a big bearing on politics in your country?
Yeah, I think you know, as you said, a lot of people there today were pro-Kerry, and I think that's why there were a couple minority groups that had huge numbers, actually, that were there to say, Bush is not the only problem in our administration. Bush is not the only problem in our government. He could leave and we would have Cheney, and Cheney could leave and we could have Ashcroft, and on the flip side, we could also have Kerry, and Kerry would be still pro-capitalism, still pro supposed free trade and, you know, decreasing environmental protections in order for big businesses to reap the most profits. And so I think a lot of those key things that really have such a impact on our daily lives, on our well-being, wouldn't be that different with Kerry. And I think even when we look at foreign policy, Kerry may have a different approach as far as perhaps talking to the international community more about the occupation in Iraq, but he said in his campaign that he would have sent more troops there. And for me, and I know a lot of other people that were there today, sending one more troop there is basically sending one more person to their death, and it's not something that's justifiable. So I think in a lot of ways, Kerry and Bush really, when you put them together, stack up as the same.
You have been listening to an interview with Layla Spears of DC Anarchist Resistance, a group which is part of the larger counter-inaugural network which organized to protest the inauguration of George W. Bush's second term as U.S. President in Washington, D.C. As part of the convergence in D.C. against George Bush's inauguration, both the D.C. Indie Media Center and D.C. Radio Co-op set up an independent media convergence space to provide an opportunity for indie media activists from throughout the U.S. to organize alternative coverage of both Bush's inauguration and the street demonstrations. I had the opportunity to speak with Drew Poe from DC Indie Media and DC Radio Co-op about the indie media convergence during the demonstrations against Bush's inauguration.
I'm Drew Poe with the DC Indie Media, and we set up a media convergence space here in D.C. Above Café Mawanage, where we brought in lots of computers. We're operating an online radio feed, and we have had a whole lot of journalists, both radio and print journalists and photojournalists from D.C., as well as journalists who came in from other medias, indie medias around the country, and just individuals who came in who wanted to do some media and post their photos and things, and we set this place up to give them the opportunity to do that, as well as to provide comprehensive coverage of the protests, which we knew would not take place in the mainstream media.
Can you maybe expand on that a little bit? Why did you feel it was important to have that space for independent media, and also give a little bit of historical context to the indie media movement?
First of all, we felt it was important, and it's not just indie media, but also the DC Radio Co-op, which is a local grassroots community radio training project to encourage community-based news reporting and radio reporting. And the members of the DC Radio Co-op were on the air constantly throughout the day and did a fantastic job of reporting and doing breaking news reports, providing music, lots of interviews. And that's one of the things that was great about this space is protesters and people who spoke and attended the protest events around town were able to come in here afterwards and immediately talk about their experiences, give detailed firsthand accounts of what had happened and why people were out at these events, which was the primary reason that we set this place up. We knew that there needed to be an outlet not only for the coverage of these things and what was taking place, but to get to the why, which is very important and is missed by any of the mainstream media you watch. You'll see people out at protests, but it's portrayed as just in very simplistic terms that these people just don't like Bush or just opposed to the war, when in fact it's a really broad coalition that was out in the streets today. Many of them who would have been out in the streets if it had been John Kerry, for example, and then a lot who it was very personal for them and certainly directed against the Bush regime itself. Indie media is a collective that grew out of the Seattle protests in the 90s from the anti-globalization movement, and it was realized that we really needed an ability for activists and activist journalists on the left to come together and have a place where we could work together and pull our media together and have a place to display it. So the website sprang up, and it just grew out of that, the idea of having a place and a community of activist journalists that were interested in doing the media that is not covered by the mainstream media because it cuts too close to the truth about the serious problems that have to be addressed in this society.
Now, you said one focus has been of the IMC to look at the whys in regards to the demonstrators. Why were people on the street? So maybe can you go into some of the perspectives that people within IMC were offering today in terms of why people did feel it was important to take to the streets during Bush's inauguration? What were some of the key issues?
The two things that are being focused on the most are, in terms of what most people watching CNN or ABC News would see, was opposition to the war and opposition to Bush having been reelected. The fact is that it goes a lot deeper than that. Certainly the anti-war sentiment is very strong right now because that's the foremost representation of U.S. imperialism. But imperialist policies in general are at the heart of a lot of the opposition in the streets, whether it's imperialism in Iraq and the occupation of Iraq, imperialism in Afghanistan, imperialism in Palestine, the globalization movement and the absolute rape of resources, both human and other natural resources in the world and other countries that corporations are guilty of. These are all issues that drove people that were involved in these demonstrations. And then there are people for whom things were a lot more narrowly focused, and I don't necessarily say that as a negative, but there were plenty of people definitely for whom the war was the primary issue, and other people for whom they feel that the Bush victory was illegitimate, it was a coup the first time it happened, and this time it was really no different, that the vote didn't count, that there was vote manipulation, and that we've reached a point where democracy really, the last nail, was driven into its coffin in this election. And there are, of course, a whole other wide array of issues concerning racism in terms of the stances the Bush administration has taken on civil rights issues and issues concerning the destruction of the social safety net and the deficit and how much the transfer of wealth in this country is just snowballing. That's something that's been going on for a long time, even prior to the Bush administration. There are issues of turning the Bill of Rights into a floor mat in the eyes of a lot of people that were in the streets today. Things like the Patriot Act that have just eroded our civil liberties to the point that the debate has been completely changed in this country so that people aren't saying, should we be torturing? It suddenly has become, when can we torture? And that's the myopic view that is portrayed in most of the media. So there's a lot of opposition to a lot of things about U.S. policy, a lot of opposition to the war in Iraq, a lot of opposition to U.S. imperialism, and a lot of opposition to some very specific things about the way the Bush administration has relied so much on secrecy, on very harsh bullying tactics internationally, and there is something that a lot of us feel that is a problematic about the increasing role that religion is playing in the rhetoric and the decision-making processes of this administration, and the fact that when you look at that and consider how much that's a factor, that a lot of these imperialist policies really take on the form of a true religious crusade around the world.
Now, when you talk about foreign policy, you were saying earlier, referencing at least Iraq and Palestine and also Afghanistan. Can you maybe speak about how you feel the demonstrations today were attempting to convey a message to people in the Middle East who are experiencing the policies of the current U.S. administration. Do you feel that there was an attempt to reach out to those people who are on the ground, say, in occupied Iraq? Was there connections made?
Certainly. I would like to think that there were connections made. I think that, and I hope that with all eyes being on Washington, D.C. today, that people that tuned in were probably expecting to see a victory march, a very arrogant victory march up Pennsylvania Avenue. And instead, that march was brought to a halt, a literal standstill in the streets of D.C. by fighting that erupted between the police and demonstrators. Clouds of tear gas wafting through the air, and they literally, the police had to call and have the motorcade slowed and ultimately stopped to allow them to clear the protesters back. The barricades had been broken down on Pennsylvania Avenue, and the tear gas had to kind of be aired out so that the president wouldn't be driving through a cloud of smoke up Pennsylvania Avenue. And I don't believe that anyone could have seen what took place, even though those images didn't make it onto most media, although CBS did actually show the police loading the gas canisters and some of the fighting that was going on. At the very least, the fact that the Bush motorcade was on either side, was fenced in with these large banners proclaiming Bush to be a war criminal, calling him a fascist, opposition that was broadcast around the world, showing people that no matter what, for all the talk about red states and blue states, there is a serious, significant opposition to Bush that is willing to come out in the streets, even on his proudest day and his proudest moment, and put his crimes right in his face and bring that motorcade to a halt. And I hope that that had an impact on people looking around the world, because it was certainly not only an expression of our own opposition to Bush, it was an expression to the rest of the world that this opposition does exist and that there is solidarity with these people's movements around the world. And not just Iraq and Afghanistan, I also neglected to mention examples like Haiti and Venezuela. Certainly, Haiti is just one more horrible example, and it's unfortunate that it's kind of fallen to the background lately, and it doesn't get as much press as it should be getting. And I was glad that Father Jean Just was in town today to speak about it. He was a political prisoner in Haiti, and he spoke at the rally at Malcolm X Park here in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Now, the people that were on the streets today in Washington are, let's say, a continuation of demonstrations that have been happening since Bush took office in 2000. Many of these demonstrations during the past 4 years have focused on Bush's quote-unquote war on terror, the occupation of Iraq, Afghanistan. Now, can you maybe offer some of your perspectives as to where you see this protest movement going in the next 4 years with Bush in office? It seems that today was kind of a kickoff in terms of people showing their opposition to Bush. Where do you see that going in the next 4 years?
I definitely think that because of what today represented, it was necessary to show that opposition and that opposition was there, but we can't rely just on showing that we oppose these things. We have to be a lot more proactive about offering solutions and trying to reach as many people as possible. Within the independent media movement, it's easy to lose sight of how necessary it is for us to popularize our message and our information. And I don't mean water it down or mainstream it. I mean popularize it by taking the things we have to say and the views we have and getting it out there to the world and to the people who don't have this information and maybe have a lot of misconceptions about the Bush administration and about this war and the other policies of this country. Because only if we can reach more people, only if we can use the media that we've built and the protest movements that we've built to get more and more people into the streets, to show them how these things directly affect their lives, that's the only way that we're ever going to be doing more than simply showing that we oppose Bush or that we oppose his policies. That's that's okay for today, and it was a great statement to make, but we're not going to win anything by simply demonstrating our opposition to him. It's going to be very necessary, I think, in the next 4 years. I'm very pessimistic. I think in the next year or 2 years, it's going to be necessary for us to seriously ramp up our efforts to get information out to people and get our messages across and show people what they can do besides just expressing opposition, what they can do to stop these things, what they can do to offer alternatives, and that it is possible, even with the extensive decay of our civil liberties in this country and with the widespread power that this administration has and is willing to exert militarily around the world. They are not unstoppable. They are not unbeatable. We can do it. But we've got to reach out to people, get people to unify behind this information, get people angry about these things, and most importantly, show people that something can be done about it.
You have been listening to an interview with Drew Poe from DC Indie Media and DC Radio Co-op, who offered his perspectives on the independent media convergence during the demonstrations against George W. Bush's inauguration in Washington, D.C. on Thursday, January 20th. For more information on the various groups and organizations who participated in the demonstrations which took place against Bush's inauguration, visit www.counter-inaugural.org. That's www.counter-inaugural.org. For extensive independent media coverage of the demonstrations, visit dc.indymedia.org. That's dc.indymedia.org. This report was recorded and produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stéphane Christophe.